even begin to imagine what it takes for the City of Tucson Water Department to ensure that their customers receive high-quality water and excellent service in a safe, reliable, efficient, and environmentally responsible manner every single day? Here's a snapshot. Tucson's Water Quality and Operations Division, environmental scientists, chemists, analysts, disinfection personnel, system and water treatment operators, and inspectors work together to monitor the quality of our drinking water at more than 200 wells, 61 reservoirs, 266 sampling stations, and 125 selected homes throughout the Tucson Water Service area. Clearly not an easy task. And sometimes things can go wrong. And then what happens? Stay with me to learn from the man in charge of this huge operation and to learn about the many moving parts it takes to deliver our water from the aquifer to our faucets and what's in place to fix things when they go wrong. Hi, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and we're going to get down to earth to learn about water quality and why it takes a village. And before I start firing off my many questions, two quick items. First, I'd like to give a sincere thanks to the sponsor of this show and a valued partner and supporter of the Mrs. Green's World platform, Tucson Water. Tucson Water, as I said, does indeed deliver safe, clean, and high-quality water that meets state and federal regulations. This utility also voluntarily monitors the water system for hundreds of contaminants that are not regulated by the federal, state, or local governments. And believe me, the list is long. And a very quick tip from one of our other great partners, Tucson Electric Power. This is so interesting to me because I learn things as they give us the tips. Dry laundry loads one right after another so that the dryer doesn't have to reheat for each load you dry. Also, be sure to clean the lint tray after each load to improve airflow. It all adds up to energy savings, and I ask you, who does not want that? I know that I do. So now, without further ado, let me join me in welcoming our guest, Albert Avila. He is the Water Quality and Operations Administrator. Welcome, Albert, and given everything I've talked about, do you still want to be here?
Absolutely. Good morning.
There's a lot to cover, I can tell you. It's daunting. And sometimes I get overwhelmed just preparing for the show, for what the scope of work is for all of you. So people that listen to our show, they like stories. They like stories about people. So what is your story about how you got to be here? I mean, let's be honest. It's a big, high-level job, so much so that I notice you have two phones. It's like, I hope they're not always going off. So tell us about that.
Well, I started with the City of Tucson and Water Department in the year 2000.
That's a couple of decades now.
Yes,
almost.
I've been with them for just past 18 years now, and it's been a great career. I love my job. I love what I do. I love the people I work with. Previously, I worked at the mines for 12 years, and the mines weren't doing too hot back in then.
Right,
back
right.
In those days.
Big shift.
So I applied for the city and I got an interview and I got hired, and I started at ground level at metering services. I worked there for a couple years and enjoyed it. Learned the city, learned the east side of the city, because that's primarily where I worked. At that point, I started to get certified through the state of Arizona in water treatment and water distribution, which helped me out in my career and basically where I'm at now. So I worked in metering for 2 years. At that point, I applied for another position to be a water treatment plant operator. And as a water treatment plant operator, it's a huge responsibility. You're going through each separate well site, reservoir, booster station, whether it's potable or reclaim, and you're testing chlorine residuals, you're pulling samples, your water quality samples, you're making sure the equipment is operating efficiently and effectively as it's supposed to. If not, you do take the necessary actions to correct it. So at that point, I applied for another position, and this was like in 2004. it was a water system operator, which is something I was very accustomed to. I did that particular job at the mines for 8 years. And that position requires you to run the SCADA system. That's a supervisory controlled and data acquisition system that you remotely control the each well site, each booster site, reservoir, valves, remotely from one single control room.
I think one of the things that when as an observer of corporate cultures, and in this particular case, a government culture, it really speaks volumes about the City of Tucson Water Department, if you ask me, because Sonny sat here, Sonny Suarez, a mm-hmm. couple of weeks ago, and his story was very similar. So what that tells me is it's a culture that values their employees, and there's a path to really move up. There's a path for you to continue to advance in that environment instead of hiring from outside. And I'm impressed with how many people have been there for, 15, 20, 25 years. It's the same with TEP. Once they get in there, there's a spirit of leadership that people want to advance. And with what you did, it makes me feel safer because you know what's going on. You started there with boots on the ground, and you know so many aspects of what it is, what it takes, what could go wrong, which I would think then makes you a better supervisor because you know the scope of work, and you know what the possibilities are, when it's going right and when it's going wrong. It's so overwhelming to me because of the vastness of it that I just stand in awe of getting 43 years of safe, reliable water to my house without ever a glitch, living in very different parts of Tucson.
Well, that sounds great. I appreciate that.
And it's really true. I mean, it's very sincere because people don't understand the complexity of it. Most people don't stop to think about where our water comes from. Nope. I didn't until I am Mrs. Green, and then it's like, wow, how does this all work?
Yeah, most people don't until they turn on the faucet and they realize
and
they don't
work.
Have water.
That's when they start wondering.
The majority of the time, the issue lies on the customer side. But our management and Tim and our two deputy directors, they promote within.
That's amazing.
They are so valuable to the City of Tucson and the water department themselves. I mean, they promote employees, they promote morale.
And, yeah, it's so clear. So then you got up to that level, and then what? Now you're one of the big kahunas.
I operated a system very similar to what I was operating here at the City of Tucson at the mines. It was just a whole different process.
Right.
Same end result, but just a different process. So I jumped right in, and it was like second nature to me. But I worked through that. And I wanted to excel and just do a good job for the department, not only the department, the customers. I mean, ultimately, that's the end result. And we as a team work together to achieve that, and we still do that.
Clearly, because it works. I know.
Yes.
It just works. So can you get into some detail about, like, what do you have to do, you, Albert, do you do a lot of supervision? Are you on the ground a lot? What is your scope of work? Because it's a big job.
It's a huge responsibility, but I have a great team behind me. And
awesome.
We work together in the Water Quality and Operations Division. I've got managers under me and then supervisors under them to make sure we do a great job. We meet regulatory compliance with all federal, state regulations. We go above and beyond what we need to do as a department.
Right. I sense that from everybody that sat in that chair.
Yeah, from a water quality standpoint, for example, EPA will set a standard. We don't even reach that standard. We set an internal standard, which is below that MCL, which is a maximum contaminant level, that EPA.
So you have fewer.
Yes, exactly.
Got it. How do you, like, I, there, you know that recently there was a big hoopla about contaminated water. And this is what I think was interesting. Chris Avery, who's the attorney, came on. And after the show was over, because we didn't talk about that at all, and we talked about the impact of headlines. And he said, can you imagine if the headline read, contaminants in the water, as opposed to contaminated water? One's a big red flag. And I dare say, people should really know that there's contaminants in our water and they're safe. And our, it's like, to me, I liken it to, I went to the rainforest and I could not drink their water because they had different pollutants, not the same as ours, but I mean, it was more like, you know, the stuff that's in there in the water. But they don't get sick from it. But if we did, because our bodies aren't adapted to what they have, that their water has, they've been drinking since birth, right? So there's, we have contaminants in our water. It is regulated. So what are you looking for that are red flags? You and your team of people, what sets off a red flag?
Well, we sample for all these contaminants daily. And we've got samplers out there daily sampling at well
sites, checking different spots,
sample points within the distribution system. And we analyze about 98% of these samples in-house at our state-certified lab out at our Hayden-Udall facility. We wait for results, and we react immediately if we see something out of the ordinary or getting close to approaching an MCL.
Right, right.
We identify that, and we mitigate it, whether it's a treatment process, short-term solution is we'll shut the well down.
So how do I've never thought to ask this question in all these years of the partnership. How do the contaminants, is there a way to explain how they get in the water? I know that they can get contaminated from pipes from the delivery. At least that's what happened in Flint, Michigan. That's my knowledge about that. It's still, there is still lead in the water in Flint, Michigan because they have not been able to replace all of the pipes. Mm-hmm. So they still have lead in the pipes. There has to be a myriad of ways.
Well, that's a great question. Just recently, we completed a lead program. It was called GTLO, Get the Lead Out.
I love it. Get the lead.
As a matter of fact, we had a celebration last week for the completion.
I did not get invited.
No?
No, it's okay. Moving
we'll
right
you
along.
In mind next
yeah, put
time.
Me on the party invitation list. GTL, I love it.
So we had crews solely responsible for identifying where these lead pipes are, removing these lead pipes and replacing them with either copper or PVC, whatever needed to be
right,
replaced.
Right, right.
And we've got everything out except on Broadway right now. We're waiting for a road project on Broadway to pull those out. And then once that's done, we've got everything out of the system that's been identified. So
we were even
recognized by ADEQ, Arizona Department of
Environmental
Quality.
Awesome.
For the program. Efforts. I mean, it was fantastic.
That's awesome. So what are other ways? Like, does the rain and what it carries in as far as pollutants, does that get in the water supply? I know people have said that you could maybe not have to take Ambien because there's Ambien in the water when people throw their drugs in
yes.
the toilet. I'm like, people, don't ever flush your drugs. It's got to go somewhere.
Yes.
Put it in the landfill.
Yes. There's pharmaceuticals in the water where people are dumping their old pills or whatnot in toilets or wherever they're dumping them. And it slowly works its way into the aquifer, and we see them in our water quality analysis. There's chemicals that are being dumped on the ground, which slowly seeps into the ground, into the aquifer, where we receive these
contaminants. Even
contaminants.
I know from working with, when I used to work with PAG, one of the people that would come on and say, you know, stormwater management is a huge issue, and talked about rainwater and all of those things, but talked about don't wash your car in your driveway and have all the oil and grease and all of that. Everything has to go somewhere. And if there's anything I've learned in this 10-year journey, it's the connectivity that we have to all those actions or lack thereof. You know what I mean? Like, we used to wash our car in the driveway. Like, that's what you do, right? But there are systems for that, and you should be really mindful of what you're doing to contaminate our water. And then I'm very happy that there are staff like you out there taking care to make sure that you're getting it out. Whatever we put in, you're helping us get out.
Yes.
Pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, when you spray your ground and it rains, where do you think that goes, people? It seeps in.
It seeps into the aquifer,
yeah.
And ultimately it gets pumped into the system and introduced into the system. But we do monitor for almost every contaminant out there. And
it's hundreds.
Oh, hundreds.
It's hundreds of having to watch, because you can't have a sense for what people are not being conscious of and putting in there.
And just recently, our hot topic is PFCs, perfluorinated compounds.
Right.
We're dealing with that right now. We've shut down every well that we've identified with a detect.
So where do they come from?
It comes from a number of places, firefighting foam that they used to use.
Oh my goodness.
Back in the 80s, 90s.
Right. Wow.
Food wrappers, pizza boxes. It's basically a non-stick chemical, so your food doesn't stick to the wrappers or boxes.
Ugh.
It's a Teflon sprayed on your carpets so you don't get stains.
Which is a lot of training that we do as our green team to talk to people about removing toxins from their home.
Yes.
And our homes are making lots and lots and lots of people sick.
Ew.
Because
yes.
of all these things that we don't need in many cases. You know, safeguard, what to stain.
Scotch guard,
yes. All those things. That's amazing to me, because it all has to go somewhere. I'm really interested. You and I had a fun chat with James off air a little bit about readiness when emergency strikes. And we were laughing, and I just want you to be really honest. You have a 24/7 job. You and your team are on call. There's a hotline to call after hours. There's a number to call anyway, where if something happens. So I said, if a water main broke in this house, like if I went in the bathroom and the pipe broke underneath it, I would call James in a very loud voice, because he knows where to turn the water off at our house, and he probably knows where to turn it off at the meter. So what kind of calls do you get? Do most people know that? Should they know that? When you and I started talking, it's like, yeah, I should know that, because what if I call James and he's not home?
Yes, no, you're right. As a department, our PIO staff does a great job of putting together monthly flyers in our billing inserts. And every month the topic changes, but one month out of the year they'll put in directions on where your meter's located, locate your meter. There's a valve at your house where the water comes in, where you can isolate there as well. So they do a great job at assisting and educating our customers on how to deal with situations like that. Obviously, we still get calls after hours and weekends, which my staff handles, the water system operators. They're there 24/7, 365 days a year. They operate the distribution system, make sure the customers have adequate water pressure, adequate flows, and they're just there to assist.
So it's one thing if your water stops working and it's not an emergency. They call you and you say, okay, we'll get someone out there. But what about if the water does break? What do you tell them to do? Like, if I called you, does someone have a map and they know where my water main is? What, you know, where the meter is, so that you can say, okay, it's on the north side of your house and right along the road, and go out there and turn that valve. Do you know where they are for all these houses?
Absolutely. We have an electronic mapping software program that we utilize. Everybody in the department utilizes, and we can pull up a certain address. It'll identify where the meter is, where
in
the main
hurry.
Is. And they can do this within 10 seconds and guide the customer in to where they can shut off the valve. Sometimes the valves don't work, so we'll dispatch an employee out to isolate or shut down the meter ourselves.
That's really so good to know, and it makes me smile. It's like, okay, there is a plan B. What about, I've never thought to ask this question either. It's great as I learn more and grow more. Is there any way, like I had a friend who had, she had a big piece of property. It was like 4 acres in town, and she got her water bill, and it was $1,500 because there was a break. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to tell you, Tucson Water was wonderful in working with her about a payment plan. She had no idea. They had to come out. Is there any way that does not that I'm asking this is good or bad, but do you ever pick those up and notice that a customer is like using massive amounts of water? I know that's not your job, but does it ever happen?
That isn't in my realm of responsibility. However, our customer service division does do that.
Yeah.
They'll identify an average usage for that customer or that residence or that meter, and it'll throw up a red flag if it's
out of whack.
So they'll contact the customer and let them know, hey, your bill actually went up. Your consumption went way out of whack. Yes,
yeah,
it did.
It's really scary to get that kind of bill.
So we do have that knowledge, and we make the attempt to contact the
customer.
Thank
goodness you're not responsible for that, too.
No.
You've got enough to do that to make me feel safe at night. As I said to you, it's very interesting being a professional as long as I've been in worlds of conferences and training and what people like and social media and all these changes that I've seen in my years. And what I think is interesting, what's really, I don't even like this term, but I'm going to use it, resonating with people. People like to hear stories. People like to hear stories. We're so sick of data-driven, and here's a PowerPoint, and here's what's happening. Do you have any funny stories about phone calls that you remember where someone called and you're, like, cracking up? Because I'll tell you what, Christina Palsgrove from the the City Department of Environmental Services, she's got stories about what shows up in recycling. I mean, I'm not kidding. There was a horse that showed up. I mean, the horse had died.
Wow.
It wasn't horrible. The horse was dead. But, I mean, you just wouldn't think that you'd put that in recycling.
Yeah.
I personally think it's intuitive. But she's got stories that crack me up. Do you have any stories like that? Maybe, I know, not a horse story. You don't have to make.
No, I don't have any horse stories. But actually, I do have a good story that stands out. When I was an operator back in probably 2004, 2005 time frame, it was a weekend. It was an evening. And I was on the night shift. And I had received an after-hours emergency call from a customer. He was a gentleman. And he says, I don't know what happened. I was out barbecuing, cooking some steaks for my family. And I shut my gas off, came inside, and went to turn the water on the faucet.
You're kidding
me. To wash my hands. And he says, I don't have any water.
Water.
So I'm looking around. I said, all right, let me see what we got going in your area. Give me your address. Looked up his address. I told him, you know what? We don't have anything going on in your area right now. Do me a favor. You said you mentioned you'd shut the valve off to your gas line.
Did he turn that off?
That made me think. I said, do me a favor. Turn that valve back on. I think you shut your water off instead of your gas line. And sure enough, he was on the phone while he did this. And he turned it on, went inside. He had water. I said, yeah, that's
Thank
exactly
goodness,
what happened.
Because that means he had the gas still on.
He still had the gas still on.
So that's
still
not
on.
A good thing.
That
oh my
was
gosh.
Not a good thing. So, I mean, we
and boy,
avoided a potential
a big
issue
yeah,
there.
That would be really very, very unsafe and disastrous. And I want to say, like, I resemble that remark. That would be something that I would do. My husband would not, but I would. So that's why I'm, like, valve-free. I tried to avoid valves at all costs.
Yeah, that one really stuck out to me and his stuck to me ever since.
Yeah, so that was
a
problem
years.
That fixed. Are there ever times when there's, this is, and I'm not just saying this, I mean, we have not had anything happen. We've had some water lines break on the property, so that interferes. And just even finding those, sometimes you don't find them right away if you're not out in the backyard, whatever. What about the overall, like, Is there advice about people checking occasionally, or does it happen so rarely that there will be a break that you just don't, I don't worry about it. We haven't had it like once or twice in 43 some years. So it must be pretty good equipment is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Seriously.
My best advice is just monitor your consumption
right,
monthly.
Right.
And if you see something out of line, it probably throws up a red flag where you need to start walking your property. To look for wet spots or potential
right.
issues.
That's how we have found them when we know there's a break. And like sometimes we have like drip irrigation and something will happen there and all of a sudden the ground is wet if we, you know, let the dog out and we're watching.
Yeah.
What about the overall, like, I'm struggling with the question here, but one of the things that I think is important. The question left me, totally left me, because I started thinking about looking at that implementation piece. I know, it came back.
Yeah, got it.
I pay my bill online, and so do many people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's not through Tucson Water. It's a bill pay, like where it's a Dropbox where all my bills come, and I pay out of PayTrust. So I don't get those flyers. And I would think that more and more, it's going to be an issue how to get word out to people, because more and more people... I mean, I can't imagine people writing checks out for their bills. And I understand they do.
There's
no judgment on my part.
Do, yes.
Probably lots of people. Mm-hmm. But it, oh my God, when I found that system, it takes me 20 minutes to pay my bills a month instead of, you know, an hour.
Yes, exactly.
And no postage and it's greener.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder down the road, and it's probably something great to talk to like Candace or James McAdam or something about how to get those bulletins out. And I get the newsletters, but... public education, you do quite well. You just have to have access to that. So and the same with TEP, they send out a newsletter that I read with lots of helpful hints. But
and if you don't receive the newsletter, the billing insert, it's also posted online as well under
the
Tucson Water
website. It's a good website. Okay,
yes.
Okay.
It's very informative. I mean, it's got water quality data. It's got customer service data. It's got tons of information that...
So if you want it, you can find it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's there.
I don't have to do that because I have great guests that come in on a regular basis and give me all the inside tips and what I need to do. But there's a lot, and there's things about, you know, I did an event this weekend and I carry collateral material for the City of Tucson Water Department. And there's lots of things you can do to help save water and, you know, water efficiency and water, use it wisely. And it was so funny. One of the people that came and visited my booth said, came up to me and said, what about all the initiatives for, what was the campaign? And I said, oh, they still do that about in the summer, Beat the Peak. And
yes.
I said, it hasn't been as much of an issue because that's what blows me away. It hasn't been as much an issue when we were having more shortages and all these checks and balances. And I said, they'll bring back Beat the Peak if they need to.
Yes, our customer base has conserved quite a bit.
Isn't that just a tribute to us?
It sure is, and we can see it in our daily production report. It's phenomenal, and the customer base is doing a great job at doing this. Rainwater harvesting is a great program.
Big thing.
That
big
we
thing
promote.
Right now.
Yes.
And we better all pay attention to that because it's going to get drier. So, as usual, I had a grin on my face almost the whole time. This was a fun, informative show. And I'm going to come up with some catchy phrase for this because the last word from Mrs. Green's world is, as you know, we are committed to raising awareness about every aspect of climate change imaginable. And whether this is your first podcast you've listened to or not, you know that we believe mitigating the progression of climate change is what we are about. Water is arguably the biggest issue we are facing as a planet, and we will face it more and more in the weeks, months, and years to come. On a very personal level, it's very reassuring to me that Tucson Water is on the cutting edge of preparing our community for the impact of global warming, that they have a multitude of plans in place to protect us in the case of severe drought, and that because of strong, committed leadership, they have a workforce that does everything they can on a daily basis to bring us that safe, clean, and high-quality water every day. So I appreciate that, and I know that I am not alone as a consumer in being grateful. So thank you for being here, and you, everybody, anything that you want to know about links or information that Albert shared is always available in our show notes. You don't have to worry about a thing. You don't have to write it down. We will give you links to websites. It's always going to be there. So December 4th, great podcast with Vien Trong, Breakdown, Breakthrough. She's all about working together and finding ways for all of these disparate groups. Let's work together and bring peace back to our country. And then tomorrow, another great show, Phil Byram from TEP, When the Going Gets Rough, TEP Energy Solutions at Work for people that are in very, you know, severe financial situations and the kind of help that TEP offers those. So, Albert, this was really fun, and thank you. I learned more again.
It was great. Thank you for having me.